Get all wired up here. Turn this one on. Is my microphone on? Good. Great. Well, I'm so glad to be with you tonight. Thank you for coming out on a busy Saturday evening. It is Saturday, right? I get all confused. We're in another country. We forget what's going on. So I was asked to speak on a kind of a different topic. This is not like a sermon. It's more like a philosophical discussion about Christianity and its relationship to other worldviews. The title of my talk is, What is Truth? You know, there's a lot of discussion, many different philosophies, many different ideas, especially at a university. We like to consider other ideas. One of the jobs of a university is to open people's minds, at least maybe not to change what they believe, but to understand what other people believe. And I believe that our world, the intellectual world, is starting to lose a sense of direction, a moral compass, a way to treat ethics correctly. There's a very famous discussion of truth. It was between Jesus Christ and Pontius Pilate, right? And Jesus said that he was on the side of truth. And then Pontius Pilate asked him, well, what is truth? And that's what we want to talk about tonight. What is the nature of truth? You know, the world is rapidly changing. When I was young, at least in America, you could have a discussion about the Bible and assume that people would know who Noah was and who Abraham was and knew about the New Testament and the Old Testament. But now we're living in an age, a lot of people call it the post-Christian age. And the things that we assumed, for example, that people had a concept of truth, a concept of authority, these things are being lost. There's a loss of a sense of morality, the idea that God, obviously that God exists. And another thing, maybe not so much here in Lebanon, but I think it will happen eventually, that Islam and Christianity are losing the sense that the world is controlled by Christian beliefs, Christian believers. And so, at least in America, Christians are intimidated by atheists and by secularists and postmodernists. And a lot of believers are intimidated even to speak strongly about their convictions. And honestly, in America, atheists and unbelievers treat Christianity as if it's for foolish people who don't even know what they're talking about. And that really concerns me. And a lot of atheists act as if, well, obviously, anybody who's well-educated wouldn't believe in all this stuff. And I want to push back against that thought, at least in my presentation tonight. All right, now, there are a number of worldviews. I'm going to talk about kind of what a worldview is. And the opposing worldviews to Christianity would include naturalism, otherwise known as atheism, postmodernism. We'll talk about Islam. We'll talk about Hinduism. We'll talk about Buddhism. Now, I want to talk about the concept of a worldview. Because, like I said, in Jan's and my generation, you could talk to somebody and quote the Bible and talk about fulfillment of prophecy and things like that. But at least now, I meet somebody on campus and they give you a look like, what are you talking about? Jan and I, we were in Spain a few years ago and we were sharing our faith. And we said, do you want to come to church? And people looked at us like, are you serious? Me? Come to church? And so everybody has a worldview. A worldview is the perspective we use to process and interpret information about the world. In other words, all of us take in information and we interpret it through our worldview. So we observe something, and if we have a Christian worldview, we interpret it through a Christian worldview. If you're a Muslim, you interpret through the Islamic worldview or the Hindu worldview. All right? And so I want to talk a little bit about that. Now, this is my own personal outline. I want to talk about all the different worldviews, and the question is it a good worldview? All right? So this entire talk will be based on this three-part outline. So we're going to look at Islam. We're going to look at postmodernism. We're going to look at Buddhism and Christianity. We're going to ask, is this a good worldview? Okay? And I'm going to have a three-part outline in discussing this. Number one, it needs to be true. Now, wouldn't it be not so good if your worldview was false? In other words, your basic concept about the world, if that concept was false, I would say that's not a good thing. Okay? So we're going to ask, is atheism true? Is Hinduism true? Is the basic fundamental assumptions of Christianity true or not? And the thing is, we can have this discussion with anybody. Now, by the way, everybody has a worldview. If you ask somebody, what is your worldview? They say, I don't know. Trust me, we all have a worldview. You can't possibly not have one. If you think you have no worldview at all, very likely your worldview is atheism or maybe postmodernism. So we're going to ask, with all these worldviews, the bottom line is this worldview true? In other words, is it consistent with reality? Number two, does it answer the questions that people really care about? What are the questions that people really care about? Well, what am I? What is my place in the world? What is my purpose? What is my value? What happens after I die? How do we know what's right and what's wrong? These are the questions that people really want to know. So we'll say about postmodernism. Does postmodernism answer these questions? Does Buddhism answer these questions in a way that makes sense, that's consistent with reality, and that works? Okay? Now the third question is, those who accept this worldview, does that make them a better person? Now the skeptic would say, well, who defines what a better person is? Who defines what a good person is? I believe you could put a Muslim, a Christian, a Jew, a Buddhist, a Hindu, an atheist in a room and ask them, hey, sit down and come up with a list of what would make a good person. And I believe that would not be a hard thing to do. It would be somebody who's generous, who's honest, who is open-minded. This would not be a difficult thing to do. So we're going to look at postmodernism, Buddhism. We're going to ask a simple question. Logically analyzing this worldview, does it make a person a good person? Now, I'll tell you right now, you know when you're going to tell a story, what you do is you tell them what you're going to tell them, and then you tell them, and then you tell them what you told them, right? I'm going to tell you the end of the story right now. On the question of truth, I believe Christianity is the only worldview that matches reality. On the question of answering the important questions, I believe Christianity, slam dunk. Can you say slam dunk? Do you know what that means, slam dunk? All right, yeah, that means like in... Yeah, all right, that's an idiom. And number three, I believe that Christianity by far makes the best kind of human being. Therefore, I'd say if we can make this presentation, somebody might be willing to study the Bible. If they understand that Christianity is the only worldview that's true, it's the only one that gives proper, sensible answers to the basic questions, and it's the one that makes us the best kind of person we want to be, I hope that would open somebody to considering Christianity, okay? So, now what I'm going to do then is we're going to take a while. We're going to go through each of these worldviews. And we're going to simply answer, is it true? Does it answer the questions people care about? And would it make us a good person? Now, the first one I want to talk about is atheism. Now, technically, atheism is not a worldview. All right? So the technical term for atheism is materialism. Now, in English, when you say somebody is a materialist, that means money, 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 right? Right? That's not how I'm using that word here. Materialism in this case means a person who believes that only physical things are real. Therefore, spiritual things are simply not real. All right, we're going to look at a number of definitions of this worldview. Here's one. The belief that the only reliable instrument for deciding truth is the scientific method. By the way, most scientists are not materialists. I'm a scientist. I have a PhD in chemical physics, and I'm definitely not a materialist, okay? And, I teach in a chemistry department in America. And of the 7 full-timers, 5 of them are not materialists, okay? But 2 of them are. And in my field, in science in America, atheism or materialism is sort of the dominant view. It's the one that talks the loudest. And generally, believers who are scientists generally stay quiet about it. By the way, I'm an exception to the rule, okay? Everybody in our school knows that I'm kind of the Christian guy on campus. In fact, I'm the sponsor for all the Christian clubs, including the ones that aren't my group. All right? Another definition. This is a statement by a famous atheist. He says, we exist as material beings in a material world, all of whose phenomena are the consequences of material relations among material entities. In other words, the public needs to accept materialism, which means they must put God in the trash can of history where such myths belong. Because if you are a materialist, then the idea of God is nonsense. Of course, then we have to ask, well, is that true or not? Does that answer the questions that people care about? And does that make us a good person? Here's maybe the most famous materialist today. I bet you've heard of Richard Dawkins, yes? And he's giving his version of materialism. He says, in the universe of blind physical forces and genetic replication, some people are going to get hurt, others are going to get lucky. You won't find any rhyme or reason, no justice, because in materialism, the concept of justice is meaningless. The universe we observe has precisely the properties we should expect. If there's no design, no purpose, no evil, and no good. Now, this materialist is being very honest about his worldview. He says there's no evil. Well, that leads me to a question. Is that true? Is it true that there's no evil? I want to challenge that idea. Is it true that there's no design? We talked about that last night in a lecture I gave. No good, no evil, nothing but blind, pitiless indifference. All right, this is the last definition I'm going to look at. I have others. Only that which can be observed and measured through the technique of scientific method is real. Everything else is unreal. All right, now I'm guessing probably there are not very many people in this room that hold to this worldview. But I think you meet people like this often. And I believe this worldview is going to increase in proportion over time. So we need to be able to interact with people like this and show them why this worldview does not work. All right? All right. Now, if scientific materialism is true, then God is not real. There's no such thing as good, no such thing as evil, no life after death. None of those things. Now, let me respond to this worldview, and then we'll go on to the other ones. Number one, I believe that it is not true because it's based on circular reasoning. Now, maybe some of you understand what I mean by that. In other words, if you ask an atheist, how do you know that atheism is true? Their answer will be this, because I know that atheism is true. Now, they won't admit that, but I'm telling you, belief in only material things is based on the assumption that there are only material things. That's not a very good basis for truth. All right, so that's one reason why I would say this worldview has a problem. Number two, it can't answer any of the questions that people care about. And number three, it does not make us a better person. That's my basic outline. All right. Now, to illustrate this, I was watching a BBC show just a few years ago, and they brought on this atheist guy. And it was kind of like, what they do is they bring in somebody, some sort of a scholar, and then the panel would ask them questions. This guy was so confident. He's like, obviously, I'm going to totally trounce these religious people because they're all a bunch of ignorant people that don't even know what they're talking about. He gets up there, you know, very sure of himself. And he gave an opening statement. And what he said was this: the only things that are real are things that can be observed. Only physical things are real. All other things, such as spirituality or eternal life, these are not real. And then somebody in the panel asked him, well, how do you know that? You'd think he would have thought about that question, right? In other words, what's your evidence that it's true? He said, well, you know, all these other religions, they're so bad, the fundamentalists and the crusades, blah, 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 blah. And the man on the panel said to him, excuse me, sir, you made a statement. I asked you how you know that. You need to answer the question. He says, religious people this, and they don't know what they're talking about. It's a bunch of fables and fantasy and all that sort of stuff. And then the guy on the panel said, excuse me, I asked you a question. You answer the question. Either that or we'll bring the next person up. You know what he said? He said, well, I guess I just believe it. The only basis he had for his belief is that he believed it. In other words, the reason he believes the only realities are physical ones is because he believes the only realities are physical ones. Now, hopefully, if you're a Christian, you have a little bit more support to your worldview. You have a little bit more reason to believe it's true than that. All right? But in the end, if you talk to atheists, if you ask them, why do you believe in atheism? Basically, what it comes down to is, because they believe in atheism. That's not a very strong basis for belief. You know, I teach a philosophy of science class, and I tell my students, science is really, really good at answering certain questions. For example, if you want to know when something happened, science is great at answering that question. If you want to know where something happened, science is really good at answering that question. If you want to know how many or how does this thing work, science is great at answering those questions. But the problem is nobody cares about those questions. Do you really, really care? Does it really matter to you when or how many or where? Science and materialism is great at answering those questions. But here's the questions that science is terrible at answering. For example, why are we here? No reason. Is that the right thing to do? What do you mean, right thing to do? There is no right and wrong. What is my value? Well, your value is probably about $6. You know, calcium, iron, carbon. All right? What is my purpose? Answer, no purpose. Your life has no meaning and no purpose. You have no value. You're only a total accident. Wow, that's really an awesome answer. That really gives me a sense of wonderfulness right there. This worldview, if it's right, it sure is depressing. But the thing is, this is not true. You have great value. You have a purpose. You know what? Rape is wrong. I don't care what the atheists say. It's wrong. You know, these materialists think their philosophy is so great. This is a terrible philosophy. It's a horrible philosophy. I don't care what they say. It does a terrible job of answering the questions we care about. Why is there suffering in the world? Christianity provides a great answer to that question. Atheism, there just is. Oh boy, that's really satisfying. You know what I'm saying? By the way, it's just simply not true. Materialism is wrong. It's just not true. All right? For example, if materialism is right, then everything is random, which means there's no design. Now, I'm sorry, but there's a lot of evidence of design in this universe. By the way, if materialism is true, then you do not exist. Seriously. All right, for example, let me ask you a simple question, very simple question. Two choices. I have a body, or I am a body. Very simple. And by the way, ask this to somebody who says they're an atheist. And they'll reveal the fact that their worldview is false. So here you go. I have a body, or I am a body. Now, all of us know what the correct answer is, which is I have a body. This is my finger. I am not a finger. This is my finger. This is my brain. This is my arm. Because I exist separate from my body. For example, I say, I want to go to the store. Well, in atheism, that's a meaningless statement. What do you mean, I? What are you? Because according to atheists, what you are is a sack of chemicals. Okay, for example, let me give you another example that shows that atheism just does not make sense. I say to my wife, I love you. Well, by the way, the word love is meaningless in this worldview. What is love? Could you even define love? Because again, according to this worldview, anything that's not physical is not real. So instead of saying to your wife, I love you, you should say, I chemical you. Or I neurotransmitter you. Do you see why this worldview is not a good one? Because it's not true. Alright? Because if this worldview is true, then life has no value. But that's not true. Then life has no purpose. But that's not true. This is a false worldview. Alright, if this worldview is correct, then there is no justice. There is no justice. But even atheists say, that's not right. For example, in America, if you try to push religion on people, they'll say, that's not right. Say to the atheist, what do you mean that's not right? So you believe in morality. Well then, you don't believe your worldview. Alright? Because if materialism is a correct worldview, then justice literally is a meaningless word. And by the way, if naturalism is a correct worldview, then there is no basis for human rights. There's none. According to this worldview, if there's any purpose in life at all, it's to make as many copies of your DNA as possible. Now, if your purpose is to make more copies of your DNA, think about the actions you could justify. That is scary. This worldview is false. It's a lie. It is not true. And it does not give good answers to any questions that we care about. Why are these people so confident? And why do they act as if we believe in a bunch of pixies and fairy tales? Now, materialism is wrong for many, many reasons. First of all, the universe was created. That means there exists something outside of the universe. Life was created. As a scientist, I tell you right now, the existence of life is supernatural. Natural processes could not create life. All right? There's a number of reasons. Remember, there's three questions. Is it true? Definitely not. We know it's not true. Does it answer the questions we care about? No. Question number three, if this is the accepted worldview, would that make us a better person? The answer is certainly not. Now, by the way, many atheists behave very ethically. Many atheists are nice people. Honestly. However, what is the basis for them being nice? What is the basis for them behaving ethically? I believe it's because they borrow things from Christianity, or maybe from Islam, or another religion. because the basis for moral behavior certainly is not found in atheism. So if atheism or naturalism or materialism is right, then good and evil have no meaning. Then there is no purpose to existence. Then any kind of sexual behavior, you know, sex with animals, sex with yourself, sex with as many people as you want, they're all equally good. None is right, wrong, better, or worse. Stealing, what's wrong with stealing? Under materialism, how can you tell me stealing is wrong? There's no way to say that. That could be your opinion. And by the way, in that case, racism makes sense. Under atheism, racism makes perfect sense. Of course, that is a horrible, immoral, unethical way to behave. But under atheism, how can you prove anything wrong with that? All right, I'm going to skip this slide, even though there's some great stuff. By the way, atheism has been tried. In other words, there are a small number of cultures who actually tried that worldview. All right, for example, Soviet Russia tried atheism. Well, that worked great. Let me see. Red China, they tried atheism. Worked out great, right? Let me see. North Korea, they're still trying atheism. Just look how great that's working. The French Revolution back in the end of the 18th century, that was a great, you know, great result. I mean, atheism has been tried and it has failed. It has utterly failed. Now let's talk about postmodernism. Now, I don't know how much postmodernism is influencing the culture here. It has a huge influence on American culture. All right, in American culture, people say, well, that's true for you, but it's not true for me. Or they say, you know, all truth is relative. This is a dominant influence on intellectual intercourse, and I believe probably postmodernism is filtering into Lebanese society. It's bound to happen. Put it this way, if it comes from Europe, it's probably postmodernism. Now, I'm only going to spend a little bit of time on this because I have other things to talk about. Basically, postmodernism is the idea that nothing is true. There is no truth. Basically, postmodernism is the worldview that there is no correct worldview. Well, if nothing else, that's really confusing. Okay? One thing for sure is, remember, it has to be true? Well, how can something that says there is no truth be true, all right? This is a very, very confusing worldview. All right, so according to postmodernism, truth is determined by the people who believe in it. In other words, if enough people believe something, that makes it true. So let's say everybody in this room believes that gravity is not real. We're totally convinced of it. Then by that very process, we make it true. So we all walk up to a big cliff and step off the cliff. And we find out, well, maybe that's not true. Now, by the way, there are good things about postmodernism, honestly. There really are. Because postmodernism says, you know what, there's good things to be found in all cultures. I agree with that. I think there's good things to be found in the Eastern culture. I think there are good things to be found in the Arab culture and the Indian culture. And honestly, modernism basically came from Europe. And let's be honest about it, Europeans tended to look down on every other culture. So prideful, so arrogant. So there are some good things about postmodernism as a cultural view. Postmodernism says all the different kinds of music. You know, we can learn from the music in Mexico and the music in South America and the music in Russia. You know, from a cultural perspective, I like postmodernism. But as a worldview, very confusing and not a good one. All right? All right. So this slide, I talk about positive contributions. But as far as a worldview, it's very confusing. And really, if it's true, then truth kind of disappears. So let's, I only have a couple more minutes for this. I'm going to start skipping the slide. So let's imagine we're having a discussion with the postmodernist. So here we are. I'm at a discussion with the postmodernist. And I say to you, now, according to you, there is no absolute truth. Is that right?
Right.
So you're absolutely certain that there's no absolute truth.
Yes.
So it's absolutely true that there is no absolute truth. All right. Well, do you think that makes any sense? This worldview is self-defeating. All right. So remember my three-part outline? It has to be true. Well, one thing I know is that's certainly not true. And one reason I know it's not true is because some things are just true. For example, I'm going to let go of this Bible. It's going to fall. Amazing. Now, let's say you don't believe that's true. Let's say you don't believe in gravity. You know? Now, I say, you know what? Either God exists or God doesn't exist. I don't know. Maybe I'm closed-minded. Call me closed-minded, you know? Because according to postmodernism, if you reject anybody's idea, you're closed-minded. All right, call me closed-minded. All right? But, you know, to me, I'm sorry, but either God exists or he doesn't. This worldview is really kind of nonsense. Okay? Again, it's self-refuting. Like it says on this slide there, some things are just true. Either God exists or he doesn't. And if your culture tells you it's okay to jump off a cliff, well, then that culture is wrong. If your culture says it's okay to commit genocide on another culture, that is wrong. All right, so I'm going to go on to the next thing because I want to talk about the Christian worldview. It's kind of, I'm doing a sandwich. So I'm covering two worldviews that I disagree with. Then I'm going to cover one worldview that I agree with. And then I'm going to cover two other worldviews that I disagree with. I know this is a little bit of a confusing outline. But I'm sorry. I'm tired of talking about something other than Christianity. I can't help it. So I cover two worldviews that I don't agree with. I got it. And then I'm going to cover one worldview that I do agree with. And then I'm going to cover two other worldviews that I don't agree with. You can kind of imagine what I'm going to discuss afterwards. I want to talk about the Christian worldview. Now, don't look at the slide up there. Don't look. All right? And let's... how many of you... No, I won't do it. I was going to have you raise a hand. What worldview do you hold to? I'm not going to do that. I don't want to have anybody feel intimidated. But I'm going to guess that probably... over three quarters of this audience, if you were to ask, you'd say, I agree with the Christian worldview. So here's a good question. What is the Christian worldview? That Jesus is Lord? Now, that's not the Christian worldview, because a worldview is the set of assumptions you make to interpret information. Okay? So that's not a worldview. That's a belief or a doctrine or something like that. So I believe you can construct the Christian worldview by reading Genesis 1, 2, and 3. By the end of Genesis 1, 2, and 3, the entire worldview of Christianity is presented, which is interesting because it's in the Old Testament. You do not need the New Testament to present the Christian worldview. All right, so let me give my version of the Christian worldview. The Christian worldview is that the physical world is real, as opposed to Hinduism, which says it's not real. It's created, as opposed to Buddhism and Hinduism say that it was not created. And it is good, as opposed to dualism or other worldviews that say the physical world is not good. Most Greek worldviews said the physical world is not good. All right, so we could ask the question, number one, is this world real? Because remember, first question, is it true? Is it real? Despite what Hindus say, I believe this world is real. Okay? Was it created? You know, the bottom line is, either the physical universe was created or it wasn't. Because there are significant worldviews, such as the Buddhist and Hindu worldview, that says the physical world was not created. So here's a question. Was the universe created? Does the evidence point to the statement like in Hebrews 11:3, that the things that are seen were created from unseen things, or in Genesis 1:1, God, you know, spoke, and etc. So is this universe created? The answer is yes. Big Bang and all that. All right? And is it good? Well, we could talk about that. Point number two in the Christian worldview is there exists a spiritual reality. There's a physical reality and a spiritual reality. Number three, the creator of both is God. Number four, humans have both a physical and a spiritual nature. All right, number five, creation is good, but evil is real. By the way, almost all worldviews, not all, but most worldviews, deny the reality of evil. Now, that's a bad way of dealing with evil. Believing something does not exist does not help deal with that thing. You know what I'm saying? But I believe that evil is real. In fact, we could do this entire discussion tonight simply on the question of evil. What does postmodernism say about evil? That it doesn't exist. What does atheism say about evil? That it doesn't exist. What does Buddhism say about evil? That it's not real. What does Islam say about evil? Islam agrees with us that it's real, and it even agrees with us as the cause of evil. By the way, just, you know, of all the worldviews that we're going to look at tonight, the one by far closest to our worldview for Christians is Islam. The worldview of Islam is quite similar to the worldview of Christianity. You know, sometimes your worst enemy is the one who's most like you. You know, there's certain cultures in this area of the world that are very similar, and they're always fighting each other. I find that to be interesting. So, how does Christianity explain the existence of evil? Christianity tells us, it's right there in Genesis chapter 2 and 3. The reason evil exists is because God loves us. He loved us enough. By the way, why do we exist? That's one of those questions, right? Why do we exist? According to Christianity, the reason we exist is because God wants to love us. And he wants us to love him and love one another. Can you force someone to love you? It is literally impossible to make someone love you. That explains why we have free will. Okay? Now, some worldviews deny the existence of free will, such as Islam. But if Islam is true, well, I don't want to get to that. I'll get to that later. All right? And so God gave us a choice. You know, sometimes it bothers me why God put that other tree in the garden. You know, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? But you know what it says in the Bible? It says that that knowledge was desirable. Because God had to give us a real choice, not a false choice. It had to be a real choice. It wasn't the choice between I'll give you $1 million or I'll punch you in the face. That's not a choice. $1 million or I punch you in the face. That's not a choice. The choice was trusting in God and accepting what he has to offer you or more. Essentially, that's the nature of sin. I'm not supposed to be preaching here, but I'm going to do a little preaching. The nature of sin is what God has for me is not enough. I want more. And that was the choice, is to have the knowledge that God wanted us to have or to have knowledge that God didn't want us to have. And why did God not want us to have that knowledge? Because it wasn't good for us. Okay? But I'm spending too long on that. This is the Christian worldview. All right? And we could talk a little bit more about that. All right, sorry that I'm skipping all these slides. Thank you, Mufi, for making these slides in Arabic. These slides will be at my website tonight, and probably the church here will put it up there as well. So, remember, three-point outline. Is it true? Does it make, does it answer the questions that we care about? And does it make us a better person? Yes, yes, and yes. Totally yes, totally yes, and totally yes. I'm telling you, Christianity is by far the superior worldview. Why? Because it's the one that God offered us. Man-made religion really stinks by comparison, in my opinion. Is it true? Is it true the universe is real?
Yes.
Is creation good? Well, all right, you know, that's something we could debate a little bit. Given the existence of evil, it could cause you to wonder if all creation is good. That's a harder question. But I believe I've already discussed that. Does evil exist? Is there a spiritual reality? Do I exist? Do we have dignity? Do individual human beings have dignity? Because according to the Christian worldview, individual human beings have dignity. I believe it is true. Yes, yes, yes. Does it answer the questions that people care about? Why am I here? I'm telling you, Christianity offers the best answer to that question. The reason you're here is because of love, and so that you could give and receive love. Do I have value? What is my value? You are more valuable than the entire physical universe. Now, if that wasn't true, I guess that would be wishful thinking. But it is true. An individual person has infinite value. Christianity answers the question of why there's suffering, why there's evil. It answers the question about what is right and what is wrong. Okay? All right, let's talk about contributions of Christianity. Okay, Christianity gave us science. I don't have time to prove this, but I'm telling you, if it were not for Christianity, there would be no science. I could talk about the three basic assumptions of science. Because I teach a philosophy of science course, the first class we talk about what are the basic assumptions of science? That there's order in the universe, it's all those things. And all three of those were directly derived from the Bible. So if it were not for Christianity, there would be no science. Other contributions. If it were not for Christianity, slavery would dominate everywhere in the world. That is a fact. If it were not for Christianity, there would be no... The concept of civil rights is directly derived from Christianity. Okay, how about women's rights? How about honor to women? I'm telling you, to the extent that women are receiving more honor in this world today, it's certainly not because of atheism. It's certainly not because of postmodernism or Islam or Buddhism or Hinduism. It's because of Jesus. And I would claim, I'll talk about this a little bit more, that Christian groups do a majority of the benevolent work in the world. That is a F-A-C-T fact. There's a reason for that. Because it's the Christian view of suffering. The Christian view of suffering is not that it's evil, but that it deserves compassion. Okay? All right, now, I've now discussed three worldviews. And since we started about 20 after, I think I have about 15 or 20 minutes to go. So I'm going to talk about other worldviews. I'm going to talk about Hinduism and Buddhism and kind of wrap them up together. They're a little bit similar. Then I'm going to talk about Islam, and then I'm going to summarize, okay? Now, by the way, I'm talking about other worldviews. I hope I'm not coming across in a disrespectful way. I hope I'm not. I hope I'm being fair. All right? So we've talked, let me see. Some of the worldviews are naturalism, postmodernism, pantheism, polytheism, biblical theism, and I could add the Islamic worldview. Islamic worldview is theistic. That's a big word, theism. Theism is the idea that God exists and that he interacts with the world today. All right, that God is a person who created the universe and who also interacts with beings in that universe. So there are two major worldviews, the Muslim or Islamic worldview and Christian worldview. both of which fall under theism. Okay, so philosophers might put us in the same category, and not without some justification. Now, some people think, yeah, this is the postmodern idea. The postmodern idea is, you know, there's many different ways to the same place. You know, Buddhism, that's a great way to get there, and Hinduism, and, you know, you've got Baha'i, and you have your Jain, and you've got your Shinto, and, you know, all these are different paths to the same place. Now, that's not true. Because I'm telling you, if Christianity is true, then Islam is not true. Okay? And could something that is not true be a proper way to reach God? You know, this doesn't make sense. But now, I'm not sure how thoroughly this idea, you know, all different paths to the same place. Hindus are totally into this. I'm not sure how thoroughly this idea has infiltrated Lebanon. I don't really know. But I'm telling you, if it's not here yet, it's coming. All right? And so I believe the idea that every worldview is true is really nonsensical. All right, I'm going to skip this slide. That's an awesome slide. Oh, rats. Let me just say this very, very quickly. Paul, you know the Apostle Paul, he had a worldview discussion in Acts 17. The worldviews he was interacting with are not the ones we deal with. There was this thing called Stoicism. All right, and Stoicism basically is the proposal that God is real, but he's distant and he does not interact with the world at all. Another worldview he's dealing with there, I'm sorry, Mufid, to use these big words, but it's Epicureanism. Good luck with that one, Mufid. Epicureanism, which is basically the idea that God sort of pervades the universe. Epicureanism is very similar to Hinduism. Now, what Paul does in Acts 17 is he finds common ground. He does not attack their beliefs. He does not disrespect their belief. He does not take their leaders and go through a list of things terrible about them. He begins by finding common ground. We have common ground with Buddhists and Hindus. For example, we have a common view of ethics and what is right and wrong. He starts by finding common ground. For example, he says, you know all these idols all over the place? That's not true. And God does not exist in temples. You know, if you know Acts 17, you know what I'm talking about. The first part of his sermon, the Epicureans and Stoics are going, right on. You're so right, Paul. But he says, I want to tell you about a better God. I want to tell you about a God in whom we live and move and have our being. A God who reaches out to us. And if we can reach out to him, he will reach out to us. And he wants to know us. And so basically what he's saying here is the God of Christianity is a much better God. Let me tell you why. And he even quotes their philosophers. He quotes a Stoic philosopher. He quotes an Epicurean philosopher. He understands their worldview probably better than they do. So that's a good example. But I'm going to move on. I want to talk about Hinduism, just really, really briefly. Hinduism, as you know, is the chief religion in India. There are roughly 900 million Hindus, which means they make up around 14% of human beings. All right. Now, this religion is a little bit hard to explain because initially Hinduism was polytheism. In fact, Hinduism as practiced in India today is still polytheism. They believe in dozens and dozens of different gods. But the kind of Hinduism that comes to Europe, into the Middle East, into America, is sort of a slightly purified Hinduism. It's a more of a philosophical religion. All right, so basically, the basic worldview of Hinduism is what we call pantheism. That's a big word, pantheism. I want to talk about that, pantheism. All right, pantheism is the idea that God and the universe are essentially the same thing. All right? If that's true, that means you are God and I am God. We're all God. And really, the search for truth is the search to realize that we are not physical beings, that our nature essentially is that we are the universe and the universe is us. By the way, I was an atheist at one time, and when I first became interested in religion, I was especially attracted to Hinduism. I kind of liked the fact that I was God. That was kind of cool, being God. All right, by the way, if it was true, then if it's true, then I guess it would be true. All right? But I believe it is not true. So according to Hinduism, the physical world is an illusion. According to Hinduism, essentially when we die, we're swallowed up into this universal soul. And then, of course, it believes in reincarnation. The goal of life in Hinduism is to not exist anymore, to evaporate. I don't know. I'm not sure about that as being a good purpose in life. Basically, the Hindu worldview has us looking into ourselves. Because if we look into ourselves, what do we find? God. So the Hindu worldview does not look outward, it looks inward. All right, so now we have to ask, because I only have about 5 minutes for each worldview. We have to ask, is it true? Does it provide satisfactory answers to the questions we really care about? And would it make us the best possible person? All right, so let's do a ridiculously shallow view, honestly. If you go to my website, I have a much, much, much more detailed analysis of Hinduism. Is it true? Well, according to Hinduism, the universe is eternal. The reason it has to be eternal is because God is the universe and the universe is God. So therefore, the universe could not have been created because what or who would have created it? So, let me ask you a simple question. Is the universe eternal? No. Is Hinduism true? No. All right. Next question. I don't say this to be mean or to attack or undermine or demean or to say all people who believe this are bad people. I'm telling you, it is apparently a fact that this religion is not true. Does that make it a bad religion? Well, you decide. I mean, maybe if it made people better than they otherwise would have been, then you could say, well, even if it's not true, at least it's good in that sense. By the way, it says the physical world is not real. I'm sorry, it's real. And it says evil is an illusion. Well, that doesn't do a very good job with dealing with the problem of evil, in my opinion. Does it make us better people? You know what? There's some really, really nice people that are Hindus. Some of them are very loving. But I believe that loving nature is not very well supported by their worldview. Almost all the benevolent works done in India are done by Christian groups. Why? Because Hinduism looks inward, not outward. Okay? That's just the case. Now, I believe Hinduism provides better answers to the questions that people care about than atheism and postmodernism. Hinduism, in my personal opinion, is a much better worldview than atheism or postmodernism. All right? Yet, I believe it's not true. And some of the questions we really care about, like, for example, what is my goal? To not exist. Does it make us better people? Well, essentially, in the end, it is a self-focused religion. Because if you believe that suffering is not real, then you don't have to solve it. If you believe that evil is not real, then that's really not your problem. You see that? All right, what about Buddhism? Roughly 400 million adherents. You probably know the countries it's in. Now, the theology of Buddhism is a little bit hard to nail down, but essentially it's pantheistic as well. All right? And so basically, the goal of Buddhism is to have, how about this? For Christianity, the goal is compassion. In other words, to care as deeply as possible. The goal of Buddhism is to not care at all, is to deny your emotions and essentially almost to cease to exist. Because according to Hinduism, emotions are bad. All right? And caring about people is not what you need to do. You need to stop caring. By the way, I like everything I know about the man Buddha. Other than the fact that he abandoned his wife and children, Buddha found the mid path between physical and all this traditional religion and denying yourself. There's a lot of things I like about Buddhism. It teaches the right viewpoint, the right value, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort. You know, the Eightfold Path, I kind of like that actually. But the problem is Buddhism is not true because it says the physical world is not real. It says the universe is eternal. And does it make people better? Well, how about this? Who does most of the benevolent work in Buddhist countries? I've been there. I've been to Thailand. I've been to Cambodia. I've been to Myanmar. Who does most of the benevolent work in these countries? Answer is Christian groups. Okay? I don't mean to demean or disrespect, but I'm talking about, is this the best worldview? All right, let's talk about the last one that we have time for. What about the Muslim or the Islamic worldview? And again, that's okay. I could keep going here. Now, the Islamic worldview, the projector is not going to come up. So the Islamic worldview is quite similar to the Christian worldview. For example, it says that the physical world is real. It says that the physical world is good. It says that the physical world was created. It tells us that there's a physical reality and a spiritual reality. Many, many things that we assume in our worldview are similar in the Muslim worldview. However, there are a few differences. For example, according to the Muslim worldview, what we do is we reach out to God. According to the Christian worldview, God reaches out to us. According to the Muslim worldview, we reach out to God. According to the Muslim worldview, God is very distant and unknowable. But according to the Christian worldview, God is close and knowable. So those are some fairly significant differences. According to the Muslim worldview, we earn our way to God. In other words, we do good things, we do as many, many good things, and we're piling up, and the more good things we do, the closer we get to God. By the way, if that was true, then it would be true, but I believe it's actually not true. I believe that we are not good, and that we don't become good by doing good things because we have the problem of sin. But again, if the Muslim worldview were true, then I guess it would be better than the Christian worldview in that sense. So got that? So according to the Muslim worldview, we go to God. According to the Christian worldview, God goes to us. Which is better? Well, first of all, I don't think we can go to God. That doesn't work very well. So in the Muslim worldview, we earn our grace. We earn paradise. We earn salvation. So the question is, who reaches out to who? That's an important question. All right. All other world religions other than Judaism and Christianity has us reaching out to God. But the Christian worldview says God reaches out to us. I think this is a better worldview. By the way, I also believe it happens to be true. Okay? There's reasons I believe that it's true. So in Islam, salvation is earned through efforts. In Islam, God chooses who will be saved. All right? Now, if God chooses who will be saved, and God chooses who will go to hell, that means God is the author of both good and evil. That's not the God I believe in. I do not believe in a God who's the author of both good and evil. I believe in a God who's the author of only good. So that is a significant difference in these world views. So in Islam, salvation is earned. It's kind of like this. Okay, I give alms and I pray five times a day. Good, 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 good. But then I commit adultery. That's the Muslim worldview. Again, it's us reaching out to God. In Christianity, salvation is granted to us by God because of His love for us. Okay? Some significant differences. All right? So in the Muslim worldview, God is very distant. In the Christian worldview, God is very close. In the Muslim worldview, there's the predestination, inshallah, God wills everything. Nothing happens except what God wills. But Jesus prayed, "Your will be done." Why did Jesus pray, "Your will be done"? Because God's will is not always done. Why not? Because He's given us free will. Why? Because He loves us. So these are differences in these worldview. Now, is the Muslim worldview true? To me, it comes down to one question. Is Muhammad a prophet? And I will leave that question unanswered here. I just simply say, that is a question to be answered. Yes. Is he? Well, I'm just purposely putting that out there as a question. Given the country that we're in, I'm simply going to ask that question. If he is, then I guess Islam is true. Okay? Does it answer the questions that we care about in a satisfactory way? I would say most of the questions we care about as human beings, Islam answers in a way that is consistent with reality and is satisfying in most ways. And you know what? We should give credit where credit is due, right? Now, the third question is, does it make us the best kind of person we could possibly be? Now, who does most of the benevolent work in Muslim countries? The answer is Muslims. Why? Because one of the pillars of Islam is almsgiving. That's a good thing. But there's a problem. Because in Islam, it is illegal to use those alms to help anybody who's not a Muslim. It is essentially true. All right. I've talked to many Muslims and they've told me that. You know what? If what I said is not true, I apologize and I'll happily have a discussion with you online. In fact, you get my email and please send me material. I've been told this. I've read surahs in the Quran that make me believe this. But if I am wrong, I will happily be corrected. Okay? And I do not mean to disrespect. Okay. But that is the way I understand it. All right? But again, I'm trying to give credit where credit is due. And that one of the positives of Islam is that almsgiving is one of the pillars of Islam. Okay? But I do believe the general rule is that Christianity is far superior in that particular area because the history of Christianity is helping everybody, going all over the world to do benevolent works. And again, if you feel disrespected, I want to apologize. Okay, good. So I'll throw that out there for you for your consideration. Okay, got it? So let me just summarize. You know, a lot of people say, they're all different ways to the same place. And a lot of people in the Western world are intimidated, especially by materialists and postmodernists. And these people seem to be very, very confident that they're right and we're wrong. But I believe if we look at the worldview, if we ask, is it true? Does it provide the answers that really work? And does it make us the best possible person could be? I believe Christianity gets an A plus on all three of those basic properties. Now, I could say more, and I cut a lot out, but my time was an hour, and I believe I went about an hour and 7 minutes. I stole some of your time. Okay, so thank you for listening. Mufid, do we have some time for some questions and answers tonight, or do we need to just invite him back tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Invite him back tomorrow, okay?
Good morning.
All right. Yes, so just so you know, we took a few questions last night, but not very many, and apparently... surely this presentation raised a lot of questions. And by the way, I please, please send material my way, okay? Got it? Please. All right? But we are not going to take questions on it. However, tomorrow we're going to have a question and answer session, and we'll go, if it goes for 3 hours, it'll go for 3 hours. So I'm going to let Mufid tell you about that. Anyway, thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it. I know we have limited time with so many needs. الوقت كان قصير لكثير مواضيع نناقشة. Tomorrow, if you like to attend the lecture at 10:30 in the church building at the Adventist School.
Really stole that.